Hello and welcome to another episode of the King of Kings Lutheran Church podcast. This is Pastor Eric Johnson, and on today's episode of the podcast, we continue our series entitled The Empowered Life. And what we'll be talking about on this episode is how Jesus chooses us to invest his power into, and Jesus does not give up on his investment. We'll be covering Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Take a listen.
So I think it's a pretty universal for us to love the feeling of being chosen. We can all maybe think back to a time where we were chosen for a job, maybe to be a spouse, maybe on the at recess on the kickball field even. Feels especially good when we're chosen and we don't see it coming. Like we don't expect that the choosing to happen. One of my favorite TV shows right now is America's Got Talent. Does anybody watch America's Got Talent? Okay, a few of you, great. So if you're not familiar with America's Got Talent, it's a talent show with people doing all kinds of different things. So there's singers, there's magicians, there's dance crews, dog trainers, sword swallowers. I mean, it's all kinds of every talent you could possibly imagine, and some that you probably can't imagine are on this show. And they perform in front of judges, and the infamous Simon Cowell is one of them. And if they're really talented, one of the judges will hit the golden buzzer. And if you get the golden buzzer, that means that you advance to the live shows and you get to skip several rounds of judging, several rounds of cuts. And these golden buzzer moments are crazy because you never see them coming. Each judge only gets one golden buzzer per season. And so when it happens, they really have to believe that the person could win the whole show. It's an investment in that performer's future. And I have to be honest, I'm not a terribly emotional guy, but I tear up at just about every golden buzzer moment because of the shock and the joy and the gratitude that is displayed. In fact, I have a video I want to show you of one such golden buzzer moment.
When people show up on this show, the level of competition is that much higher. Just by the title, you are amongst champions. You show up and you rip the ceiling off of this theater. You really do. And you know what? That was your fight song. If I can do anything, I'm going to help you win this.
Like, how could you not get a little bit choked up with that, right? Like, I'm hanging in here right now, but it can be a little bit emotional. Just as we've had experiences of being chosen, we've also known the pain of not being chosen. For every Angelica, there are hundreds that don't get chosen, that don't make it. And there's been times that we've been rejected. We've been told we weren't good enough. We've been made to feel as though we don't have value. But while we may experience rejection in the world, Jesus has other plans. He has chosen you to invest his power into, and he will never give up on his investment. We're continuing our sermon series on what it means to live an empowered life walking through Luke chapters 4 through 6, because in those chapters we see the empowered life of Jesus on full display. And in this series, we're starting with the assumption that what God does in and through Jesus, God wants to do in and through you, as we learn to access that power and live as Jesus lived. And so our passage today is a familiar one to many. It's the miraculous catch of fish. Peter and his crew are having trouble catching fish. They're usually really good at it, but it's just not working out for them that night. And Jesus is teaching on the lake shore, and the crowds are pressing in onto him. And so he jumps into Peter's boat to get some separation so that the crowd can hear him. And Peter's in the boat with him. And when Jesus finishes teaching, he tells Peter to push out into the deep water and drop his nets, and which is a weird request. But Peter does it, and bam, the nets are so full of fish that they're breaking. But what comes next is this strange interaction where first Peter tells Jesus how sinful and unworthy he is, which is like kind of a strange way to respond to this massive gift that he's gotten. Jesus then makes this weird statement about fishing for people, to which Peter and his crew, they walk away from this fortune of fish, more fish than they've ever seen, and they leave it behind, and they go and they follow Jesus. So what gives here? To understand this passage, you have to know some of the subtext, that in this culture, it was every parent's dream for their son to become a rabbi. It was a good living, lots of honor and prestige, both for the boy who would become a rabbi as well as his parents. It's sort of like when your kid ends up in an Ivy League school or has this prestigious job, that the whole family sort of basks in the prestige of that. And Jewish children would begin their religious education at age 5. This would go to age 12 or 13, at which point, if you wanted to progress, if you wanted to become a rabbi, you would have to go find a rabbi who would take you on as a student. And so the parents would go, and the rabbis weren't super accessible. Like, they weren't trying to bring in all these extra students. They were very aloof about the whole thing. And so parents would be literally throwing themselves at these rabbis, begging them to take their sons on as students. And so if a boy showed potential, the rabbi might let him hang around for a while. And if you were a student of a rabbi, you would pattern your life exactly as that rabbi lived. So you would wake up when the rabbi woke up. You would eat what the rabbi ate. You would take in all the teaching and all the words of the rabbi, and then you would want to share them in the same way that the rabbi did. And you would follow the law, you would follow the Torah to the letter the way that the rabbi expected of you. And if you were doing well, the rabbi would let you progress. But if you weren't cutting it, at any point, the rabbi could send you packing. And so there were multiple rejection points if you were the student of a rabbi. You could simply not be chosen at age 12 or 13. You could be accepted by a rabbi only to be dismissed much later. And what we know about Peter is that he was probably in his late teens or early 20s. He was old enough to do the hard manual labor of fishing all night. We also know that Peter was married, and so in that culture, you got married in your late teens and early 20s, which means that at some point, Peter washed out of his religious education. At some point, Peter was told that he wasn't good enough. At some point, the family's dream of becoming a rabbi was dashed. At some point, he felt the sting of not being chosen, not being good enough, not being worthy. And when that washing out would happen, you would then go back to your family and take on whatever profession that the family pursued. And so Peter has thrown himself into this profession because he's good at it. He thinks this is the way he brings value to the world. But then along comes Jesus. Now, Peter and Jesus knew each other. Jesus had stayed in Peter's home. In fact, if you go back to Luke chapter 4, at the end of that chapter, you can read about how Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law of some chronic headaches that she was having. And from the vantage point of cleaning his nets, Peter saw the crowds that Jesus commanded. Peter knew that Jesus was the rabbi to end all rabbis. Except he kept his distance. Because he knew the sting of rejection. He knew what it meant not to be chosen, not to measure up, not keeping the law enough to be of value to the other rabbis that he had experienced. And so he keeps his distance, keeps to his fishing, to his tending of nets, something he thought he was good at, something he felt he could take pride in. Except things weren't going very well that night. The thing that had been working for him in his life all of a sudden wasn't. And there were any number of boats that Jesus could have stepped in. At any given time, there would be 200 to 300 boats on Lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. It's the same place. Anywhere from 200 to 300 boats that were fishing, Jesus could have picked any one of them. But he steps into Peter's boat to teach from. And I would imagine that Peter has this strange mix of feelings of both pride and discomfort. Because, yeah, this is awesome. Jesus has gotten in my boat, but I don't know that I deserve this. And so Jesus finishes his teaching. And then he does something strange. He tells Peter to take the boat out to the deep water. And everybody knew that if you wanted to catch fish, you had to do it in the shallow end and you had to do it at night. And now we're in the middle of the day and Jesus is saying, go to the deep end. Almost like the thing that you did and you failed, I'm going to now make it harder for you to catch anything. But Peter respected Jesus, and so he does as he's told. And the haul is more than he can handle, more than he has ever seen. Peter realizes that this is sort of his golden buzzer moment. Of all the boats that Jesus could have gotten in, of all the people Jesus could have blessed, he chose Peter, who had felt the sting of rejection before, who was acutely aware of what was wrong with him. And so he begins to protest. He tells Jesus he's a sinful man, thinking of all the reasons that he had never measured up to anyone else before, but Jesus wants no part of that talk. He tells Peter that he was made for more than catching fish. The same power that Jesus demonstrated in the miraculous catch, Jesus would invest in Peter now to fish for people. And the kind of fishing Jesus had in mind was not the kind that would result in the end of the life of the fish, and it would be new life, true life, for those that Peter would be involved with reaching out to. Peter had seen who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus was about. And Jesus was choosing Peter to invest his power into. And it was an easy decision to walk away from everything he knew and follow Jesus. Most people are more prone to listening to the voices rejecting them than the voices choosing them. Most people are more aware of what people think is wrong with them than what people think is right with them. We tend to listen to the negative voices, the critical voices, more than the affirming voices, the positive voices. And you've heard the stories of all that Jesus has done. You may even know someone through whom Jesus has done great things, but maybe you don't really believe that he'll do it through you. Maybe you don't believe that it's really possible. And so it's just easier to focus on your version of fishing, chasing after that thing that you can take pride in, that thing that you think you bring value to the world into. Fishing worked for Peter until it didn't. Whatever it is that you pursue, because you don't think Jesus will or Jesus can pursue you, maybe it works until it doesn't. And it's in those moments where you can look up and see Jesus stepping into your boat and choosing you, doing for you what you could never do for yourself, and calling you to something more, a way of life following Jesus, to bring love and life and mercy and meaning and purpose to others. Your golden buzzer moment that you don't think that you deserve. Jesus sees something in you worth investing his power in. It's why he came to earth. It's why he went to the cross. It's why he rose again to restore your relationship with God and give you an empowered life found in following him. Now replace fish with whatever your version of a miraculous catch might be. Maybe it's more money, success, fame, relationships, leisure, pleasure, whatever a miraculous catch is. You could have it all. Your version of the good life. And in comparison to being chosen by Jesus and living the empowered life that he wants you to have, your version doesn't even come close. The problem with the golden buzzer moments on talent shows is that they don't last forever. Because the same judge that believes in your performance one week, who invests in you, will be the same judge who judges you harshly the next week if you don't perform. And that applies in life as well. When we have what we think are golden buzzer moments in our version of life, they last for a little while until we don't perform, until we don't measure up. But it's not that way with Jesus. If you follow Jesus' relationship with Peter throughout the Gospels, you realize that Peter screws up all the time. And there's never a moment where Jesus considers sending him packing the way any other rabbi would. In fact, in John chapter 21, immediately following Peter's greatest failure, denying Christ in his hour of need, Peter goes back to the thing that he thinks he's good at, the thing that he thinks he can find value in. He goes back to fishing, except again, he's not catching anything. We actually don't have a story of Peter being successful in fishing. Supposedly he was, but all the stories are him failing at it. He tries to go back to what he knows, and after another long night of not catching anything, they see somebody on the shore who tells them to cast their net on the other side, and the story repeats. And it's another miraculous catch, and they realize that it's the Lord, and they go back to the shore. And Jesus doesn't let Peter go back to that life. He restores Peter and tells Peter, "Do you love me? Now feed my sheep." To take the investment that I've made in you, Peter, and do something with it. Allow God to do in you and through you what God has done in and through me. Live an empowered life. Jesus had chosen Peter and was never going to give up on his investment. And that's true for you as well. You have been chosen by Jesus. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. God has placed that power by way of the Holy Spirit in you as an investment to do in and through you all that he has done in and through Christ. And so you have to ask yourself, is the thing you've been giving your life to, for Peter it was fishing, for you something else, is it working? Is it doing for you all that you thought that it might? Are you content with that? Does your life feel like it should? Or is there something missing? And if it's working now, as it did for Peter for a while, what happens when that thing that you're good at, that thing that you take pride in, that thing you think is working, what happens when it doesn't? Rather than looking to that thing for value, for meaning, for purpose, look for Jesus to step into your boat. He's been waiting for you to let him in. He sees something in you and he has already chosen you. And no matter how unworthy you think you are, or no matter how impossible you think it might be, he will never give up on his investment of his power and his spirit in you. And so as we think about how we carry this forward, how we walk in this empowered life this week, I want to share with you one thing that Jesus wants you to know, one thing Jesus wants you to trust, and one thing Jesus wants you to do. To your head, Jesus wants you to know that you were made for more than just fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing. There's nothing wrong with these things that we do with our lives, but we were made for more. Our meaning, our purpose, and our value doesn't need to be found in those things, because that meaning, purpose, and value rises and falls with our performance. If you're doing good one day, that's great. If you fish all night and catch nothing the next day, not great. With Jesus, it's different. You were made for so much more. You were made to bring life to people, to be part of sharing the good news of God's version of the good life, to help others find that life. To your heart, Jesus wants you to trust that he has chosen you for it. Now, you may not think you're worthy. The voices of those who've rejected you may still be ringing in your ears, but the only voice that matters is the one that says, "Do not be afraid. I have something more for you than this." And then to your hands, Jesus wants you to fish for people, to learn to share that good news of God's version of life. Now, it might be like Peter, where you're called away from something. Peter sets down his nets. Peter leaves. The miraculous catch of fish behind to follow Peter. And that might be what it means to follow Jesus. But more likely in our day and age, what it means is Jesus calling you to leverage that profession or to leverage that passion to fish for people. To reframe why you are in that job or on that team or part of that club or living in that neighborhood, away from your own personal desires and ambitions, and instead called to a mission to fish for others. The challenge of being a pastor is that I have to work really hard to be around people who don't know Jesus. But you're around them all the time. They're everywhere around you. And so fishing for people might mean staying in that profession, staying in that passion, taking what Jesus invested in you and sharing it with others in that place. And it's sometimes hard to know what that looks like. Sometimes it's a little even scary, like what happens if they judge me? What happens if they don't react well? Which, of course, none of that is in your control. It begins with a willingness, an intentionality to say, "I don't know what this looks like. I don't know how to do this, but I will do it, God, if you call me." Peter had no idea where Jesus was taking him. He had no idea, his crew that walked away that day, that what was going to happen over the next 3 years and how their life would fundamentally change. But they went because they were willing. And so pray that God would point you in the direction of those he wants you to fish for. And just as Jesus got in your boat, get in theirs. Listen to them. Hear their stories. Share your story. Share with them the difference that Jesus makes in your life. The reason you show up here on Sunday to worship and to hear from God's word. There's a reason you're here. There's a difference that this makes. Just share that, as simple as it might be. And invite them to be a part of what Jesus is doing in your life and what Jesus is doing in our life together as a family of faith. But it starts with embracing your golden buzzer moment. The undeserved investment of Jesus' love and spirit and power into your life. And then taking that and looking for the places where Jesus is sending you to fish. What God has done in and through Jesus, God wants to do in and through you. To invest the power that Jesus has given you into the lives of others. Would you stand and pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks that you do not leave us alone in our times of struggle when the things that we find our value in stop working. Lord, but you enter into those situations and you remind us that our true purpose, our true meaning, our true value is not found in those things, it's found in you. Lord, help us to reframe all that we do as part of the mission that you've called us to, as part of the purpose that you have for our lives, and that everything we need to live an empowered life, you have already given us. Grow our faith. Help us to walk in your ways, to find meaning and purpose in you, and to share that with others. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the King of Kings Lutheran Church podcast. I would love to connect with you in any way I can. You can reach me via email at pastoreric@kofklo.org. You can find King of Kings Lutheran Church online at www.kingofkingslakeorion.org or on Instagram at King of Kings Lake Orion or on Facebook at King of Kings Lake Orion. Looking forward to connecting with you on the podcast and in any way that I can be helpful. Don't be afraid to reach out. If you're in the North Oakland County area, you can find King of Kings at 1715 South Lapeer in Lake Orion, and our service times are at 8:30 a.m. or at 10 a.m. We'll see you next time on the King of Kings podcast. God bless.